This is the Michael K. Show podcast.
I'm joyful and fun.
Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2.
That's cool, man!
On 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Well, the worst part about the spring is we don't get a chance to talk to Steve Young day. Let's be honest. I miss him. I hope that when he doesn't talk to us, he thinks about us every now and then. But we'll check it out right now because he's joining us on the show. Steve, how you doing?
Hey, guys. I do miss you. You know, it's one of my favorite time. You know that.
Well, we love that about
good
you.
Good to be back, and this is right before the draft.
All right, so we know that you are familiar with Zach Wilson. Most people just assume that the Jets are taking him. That seems like a fait accompli. Is there anything that you worry about with Zach Wilson becoming the Jet quarterback?
The thing that I worry about is, can you get the help? And that's really for any quarterback. I mean, there's no job in sports like quarterback because you have the sole focus. I mean, whether you like it or not, you know, you're winning or losing. It's going to be your fault or your praise. You have so little control, you know. I mean, basketball, LeBron James has sole focus, and he also has a lot of control. You need a lot of help. And we've seen that through the years, especially the young players. And so if the Jets put out what they put out in the past to help their quarterbacks, I worry about that, you know. And everyone should worry about that. But I think we've put in place over the last 5 months things that are substantially, fundamentally different from a coach, from a philosophy, focused on the quarterback. In 2021, if you're an NFL franchise, you're not focused on making sure that you're creating a platform, number one, for the quarterback to thrive, then you're a fool. And that's amazing how many people are still fools in the NFL. And, you know, historically, the Jets not a great place for quarterback. I think they've made all the changes in the last 5 months to become a place that's great for quarterbacks to thrive. And there's people there that I trust to give Zach that opportunity. Now, there's always a part of anybody who ever goes to the NFL from college that the rigor and the athletes, that whatever they did in college, they just can't replicate. And the bet that Joe Douglas has made, and Joe doesn't make flimsy bets, right? It's like, if I'm going to bet my career or bet this franchise on somebody, it's going to go through a lot of rigor. All of that study over the last 4 or 5 months, intense study, has pointed back to this guy. And so I'm as worried as Joe is worried that, you know, just there's something that we don't see or something that we don't understand. But as far as everything we can see and everything we can glean through really intense one-on-one, you know, kind of conversations and rigor around, you know, give them a playbook the day before, have them study it, come back, spit it back, give them tough questions, how do you see the world? All that stuff has been all aces. That's why they're making that pick. And so there's just a little bit that needs to see, you know, see that it can be replicated. But it's the thing about Zach. If he can replicate the things that he did on the field that aren't about who he played, it's not, I don't care who you play, there's a quarterback, you can watch quarterbacks and watch them behave. And in that behavior, you can see things that are amazing or things that are just terrible. And everything in between. And when you watch Zach on tape and you talk to scouts, you talk to coaches that I trust, coaches in the Jets that I trust. It's like you talk to them, it's like, my gosh, if he can repeat what he does naturally on the football field, this is a special guy. That's why he's there.
Steve, every indication seems to be he's going to start right away because they haven't gotten any kind of veteran to back him up. They let Flacco go. Hoyer was in the building. He left. Is he ready to start on opening day?
He's not built to it doesn't feel like, you know, just knowing him and watching him play and how he's unnervingly calm and peaceful about how he plays. He's settled. It reminds me, and I say these names because it's the truth. It's what it reminds me of. It reminds me of Patrick Mahomes when he started playing in the NFL. And you could see that his presence, his settledness, his zen, I don't know how you want it, whatever you want to say, on the field was natural. He was born, like he was born with it, or it was because his dad was in the pros, or I who knows how that happens. But there's a few guys that have come in the league that have that usually you have to earn that over a few years of scar tissue when you start to settle down. And so, to me, Zach comes in with that. And that's the gift that I think that it's just in his DNA. And that'll bode well for jumping into the fire, because it'll be insane. The expectation will be crazy. Every throw is going to be focused on the training camp. He's kind of built for it in a way. And so that's the best thing I can say about it, because as you guys know, it's going to be a furnace. And all the analogy you make about the heat and what it does to people and the crucibles of life, we have to watch it. And you guys you'll be answering these questions for me, by the end of September. But right now, I feel like, knowing him how I have and watched him how I have, I feel like I did about Andrew Luck. I feel, and it's not about necessarily the success. I'm just saying how he came out of college, when he was coming out of Stanford, same kind of sense. That same kind of presence. And so, granted, I know that he didn't play Ohio State. He did not play Alabama. And I get all that. And Joe does too. We've had to interpolate that. You have to figure out a way, whether that's how replicable that all is. And I think the answer to everybody feels like is it's replicable. It's despite the fact that it was Boise State and San Diego State and Houston and Central Florida. We can see the qualities that we think can replicate in the pros.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, Chris Sims, a guy we respect, has come out and said, Steve, that if he was running a franchise, he would take Zach Wilson over Trevor Lawrence. Now, I know you like Zach Wilson. Would you do the same thing if you were running a franchise?
I've had under a handful, but some who I trust, look at the tape, and just study it, because that's their job. The job as NFL coaches is to study, and then after years of doing this, they get really good at it, and then saying, who'd you bet on?
Okay.
And there have been some that have said, I'd bet on Zach over Trevor. Now, that's saying that you're going to ignore the fact that as a freshman, he goes and wins the national championship. As a freshman, he's gone through all the rigor. He's played the Alabamas. He's played the Ohio States. He's been through it. So when you say, is he ready? You know Trevor is, because you've seen it. You don't know that Zach is, because you haven't seen it. And so when Chris makes that kind of statement, I understand it. Because the things that he did on the field, if replicable in the NFL, it is like generationally special. And it's unique in the talent on platform, off platform, and with his legs. And then how he did it, the spirit of it, just feels like, oh my gosh, I want to see more of that. I can't wait. And that's what you hear from coaches. Like, I want to see this guy more. Most coaches, they see the limited side of people. They see the ceiling. They see, and then you watch this kid, you're like, where's the ceiling? I want to see more. And I thought myself last year when I was, week to week, I'm like, I watch a little college football. I love watching quarterbacks. And I was, kind of naturally, there's a gravitational pull to watch. I want to see more of it. So I understand what Chris says, and it makes and the tape can lead you there, if you allow it. It allows you to make that kind of a statement. It's not insanity, but that's not taking anything away from Trevor. Trevor's an incredible generational talent. I think the news that Chris is bringing forward is, I include Zach in that kind of conversation. So rather than saying, oh, I'd rather have Zach than Trevor, that's just a stupid bar fight conversation. What he's really saying is, I include Zach in this conversation around Trevor, and that's a huge statement in itself.
Did you make a statement a while back, Steve, that Zach would prefer to play for San Francisco and that San Francisco really wants Zach?
I did not. I did not. I said that there is an affinity to Kyle's system. As they watch the system they played in the NFL and what Kyle does, I think they see the 49er offense and they go, that would work great. I agree with that. The good news for the Wilsons and for the Jets is that they have fully embraced that offense. That offense is coming to the Jets. Now, there's going to be some iterations, some small little tweaks, but it is Kyle's, you know, Coach LaFleur is bringing that offense from Kyle directly to the Jets. And so that, when you talk about he'd rather play in San Francisco, he'd rather play in the Jets, the fact that that offense that the Jets are now going to run really feels familiar and something that Zach can thrive in, that's what matters. And so that's why the excitement about the Jets. And the family I know, they're a Utah family. They haven't, you know, they can't wait to get to New York to see what I told them, like, call Tom Brady Sr. You know, he's been doing it for 21 years. You know, you can come out and it works. And they're energized by that. And I think they're super excited about the potential and what Coach Sal is doing and what my old buddy Greg Knapp has coached me. Can you imagine a guy coaching me and then coaching Zach Wilson between generations with the Jets? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of familiarity. There's a lot of comfort. And honestly, I think there's a lot of comfort around Joe Douglas. You know, everyone knows Joe is a fundamentally sound, very critical, you know, diligence heavy, does the work, has a view, and is very kind of tough minded. He's got rings on his finger. There's just a comfort level that I think is building for Zach and the family, and getting back to New York and excitement about it, and getting him hooked up with guys like guys that have played there before, and guys that can help him, you know, better, you know, kind of get involved with the community, and just smart things that I think everyone's super excited about.
You know, you bring up a quarterback or coach trying to find a quarterback that plays his system, and you see what's happening in San Francisco, where they're going to get rid of Garoppolo, even though he did take them to a Super Bowl, because it doesn't fit in Shanahan's system. Is that the right way to coach, Steve? Or should a coach say, all right, I got a quarterback. He may not fit my system, but I'm going to create a system that fits him, rather than now having to trade up to the three to get another quarterback, a young quarterback, I can start over. Is that the right thing to do?
Don, we've got to set the superstructure up here, because you're conflating the issue. To me, that's what he's done for 3 years, is figure out a way to work with his quarterback in his limitations so that he can find success. And he has found success. But the coach who believes that he is the tip of the spear when it comes to innovation and offensive kind of excellence, he feels held back. And so he has managed that, and he has done that and created that space for success. He doesn't want to keep doing that. He wants somebody that makes and creates more space for him to be great too. Like, I can't show you how great I am as a coach unless I have a player that can have that space as well. Why did Kyle Shanahan trade three number one draft picks for one to get the number three and get a quarterback? Because fundamentally, that relationship he wants with his quarterback is to be a peer-to-peer one, where he can turn to the quarterback and say, here's all of me, all of my playbook, everything that I know. I'm going to lay it out there as aggressively as I can for you. You protect me. That's the dream. And Kyle's risked his career to make this trade, to find somebody he can say that to and honestly believe that that's possible. Now, can he find him? That's the question. That's a whole other question we can talk about for a minute. But right now, what he wants is to be able to turn to a player and say, I'm going to give you all of myself. You protect me, rather than me always protecting you. And that's what he's worn out of that. He does not want you. Clearly, I'm not saying anything that is like, it's obvious to everybody that Kyle has spoken very clearly by the trade. I no longer want to be in a situation where I am managing quarterbacks. I want somebody in 2021 that can go get every inch of it. And I'm looking for that. And I'm willing to trade my future to find that guy right now. And that's what they've done. Now, can they is the next question, Don, right? What can they do at three? Can they find that guy? And my personal opinion has been that they thought that the Jets wouldn't settle on Zach. Now, this is me. This is no inkling from anybody. This is just me just reading the tea leaves. I sense they moved to three because I think they may have believed that Joe wouldn't settle on Zach. because of the one-year wonder kind of thing, and West Coast, you know, and BYU independent schedule, and playing San Diego State and Boise State, that they just wouldn't get there. And they got the three to get him. Now that that's not going to happen, you know, they also didn't move to three to get somebody. They were going to get. They moved to three to make sure that the Falcons didn't beat them, that somebody didn't leap them from behind like the Patriots, that the Lions didn't move. Like, they moved to three to make sure. Now that they're at three, then they're going to get somebody. My thinking is maybe they move back on draft day and move to five or six when they know that Pitts is going to go or somebody else, and they know that they're not going to lose the guy that they really kind of studied and want. It does look like it's Mac Jones, if I had to bet. Trey Lance is super close. I believe it's possible to go back and forth and get there. But that's that. And if they can move back and get one of those number ones back or some other draft capital and get to six or seven and still get their guy, I'm sure they'd love to do that. But if not, they move to three to get their guy because Kyle Shanahan does not want to be in a situation like he has been in the last few years.
Steve, what did Justin Fields do after beating Clemson, out-dueling Trevor Lawrence, suffering broken ribs, and then not playing that great against Alabama, that he seems to be fifth in everybody's quarterback ratings? What happened?
So, honestly, what happens is that finally all the NFL coaches around the end of January and throughout February and a lot of March are putting innumerable hours, more so than even in the fall when they're actually coaching live games, to study quarterbacks, because everybody knows that if you get it right at quarterback, you now have a chance in the NFL. If you don't, and this is true in 1980, 90, and 2000, but it's extremely true. It is geometrically true in 2021. If you have a quarterback, you now, by definition, have a chance. It used to be you could build a Super Bowl defense, and you could go in the Super Bowl, and you could do that. Not anymore. You have to have generational talents at quarterback. So everybody's laser-focused on that. So it's a referendum on every player in college, no matter what anyone thinks about him in December. Heisman Trophy, when the votes are, the scout, it doesn't matter. It's February and March. All those coaches now take the tape, and they start to kind of break it down with everything that I just told you as their focus. I can't get this wrong. And so if you want to wonder why the ratings have changed, that's why. The referendum on every quarterback is now according to the guys that have to make a living at it. The coaches in the NFL, offensive quarterback coaches, offensive coordinators, and head coaches are making those kind of decisions, and that's what you're hearing. And that's it. That's the only thing that matters at this point, and that's why the ratings come and go. Why can Dak become a meteoric rise? Because he has faced that filter, and he's come through, and that's where he sits. Why is Trey Lance? I mean, it's all part of it. And so Justin has to just, unfortunately, he's going to have to go prove that those opinions are wrong. Those opinions that have, you know, hundreds of years of experience behind them, and that has happened many times, where a guy thinks that, you know, he loses his momentum in that February, March timeframe where the NFL coach is really focused. And he comes back and proves him wrong. And I think Justin's going to have that chip on his shoulder to prove specifically every offensive head coach, every offensive minded, I mean, every offensive coordinator, every quarterback coach, and show them that I was not the fifth rated one. You were wrong. And now I got to go prove it.
Steve, what are your thoughts on Washington getting Ereck Flowers from the Dolphins earlier today? I mean, this is a big – just kidding. No, Steve, seriously, though, what are you most – we know you're dialed in on Zach Wilson, right, and that means something to you. And obviously we know you're dialed in on the San Francisco pick. What else excites you about the first round of the draft on Thursday?
Well, I do enjoy – I mean, the game has come to me. Now, I'm almost 60, so it doesn't matter anymore. But the game has come to me in the sense that this is the game that I dreamed of. This is the offense. This is the kind of game that I could only dream of 20 years ago. And so for me, the excitement is the quarterback position today and the incredible opportunity and not ease, because it's not easy to play quarterback in the NFL, but how much has come to making it easier, to making it more profitable, to make it not even from a financial perspective, but just on the field, all the yards to go get, all the touchdowns to go run for, all the open receivers. It's just like, oh. And so for me, the excitement is not a jealousy, but an appreciation for where the game is today for quarterbacks like me. And as I look around and I see guys that can move and that can do everything, I beg them beg them to do the hard work of in-the-pocket, data-driven schoolwork to go find out the truth in the pocket, to go find the open receiver, to be able to anticipatory throwing, to find the guy that's open, to put it out there in time and be able to make all the throws and still be able to run and still be able to get those first downs and still be able to get those touchdowns. It's super exciting to find guys that can maybe do that. And so I don't want to go back to Zach too much, but this is a guy that when you talk to him, he loves the data. Forget about the talent. Forget about how he plays. Just does he have a knack for the data, for the schoolwork? And this is a kid, and you know this is, you know, kind of it's become a, you know, I don't know the right word for it, but you know, just the stories that you hear about him driving from Salt Lake or from Provo down to San Diego every week to work, you know, for 2 days. He drives 8 hours, 9 hours down to work with John Beck for a couple of days and comes back during COVID. And he does that every week. Why does he do that? Because he actually has a passion for the job of delivering the ball from the pocket. If he didn't, he would just go out, use his talent, have everyone think he's great, and go throw it around and see what happens. This is a kid, and I think that's why Joe Douglas has said a lot of, because this is a kid that has a passion for the game, for passion for the stuff that's boring, the stuff that most people don't like. Ah, don't bother me with that. I don't want to mess with that. And that's what excites me, is to find guys in the draft, young quarterbacks that see the opportunity. Not to see the opportunity to go make $30 million a year, I get that. But an opportunity to go do something kind of, you know, generational. And the game is, to have them see that the game has come to them. These dual threat quarterbacks, it's yours if you'll do the hard work in the classroom.
Steve, great stuff. Hope you have a great summer. Hopefully we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, you guys are great. Call me anytime. You guys fire me up. As you know, no one cares around my house about this stuff, so you're cathartic. It's my chime.
Steve,
I'm on the couch. You're my psychologist. You guys are my psychologist. I should pay you by the hour.
Steve, if I'm in San Francisco and I get your number from Michael and say, I want to grab dinner while I'm in San Francisco.
Absolutely not.
Would you ignore the text?
Absolutely. 100%.
Or are you doing it?
No, I 100%, but I'm not going to talk for an hour about the Skins, okay?
No Washington football talk. No way.
All right.
We'll just badmouth Montana.
Philosophy. Fine, I'll do that. I'll do that in an hour. I'll do that for an hour. I'm not going to talk about the Skins for an hour. All right?
Deal. All right.
What
deal.
If I were to just text you and say, how you doing, buddy?
No, you guys, you do that already. You should feel free. We're family. Knock it off. You guys acting like it's something strange going on. We're family. That's it.
What if I just asked you about what was it like facing Darryl Green and Barry Wilburn in that secondary? Sorry. Okay, sorry. That's it. Thanks, Steve.
Just for the speed of the great Darryl Green. I can tell you that.
Thanks, Steve.
You guys are great.
All right, be well.
All right. I just sent that text to see if I get a response.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.